Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives. Amen. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is greater than human strength. I love that as a spiritual axiom. Partially because it has always opened up the possibility of surprise. It has all opened the possibility of being kind of astounded and drawn into something that's curious. Because it goes against our expectations. I mean, it's saying that ultimately God goes against what our expectations are. And that the spiritual path is one of surprise and curiosity and discovering something new against what we would normally do. Paul relates it specifically to the message about the cross, which he says is foolish. Jews demand signs, Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, which is it upsets the Jews and it's foolishness to the Greeks, is how it goes. And it's that we, 2,000 years after the crucifixion, we've done something with the cross. That message of the cross isn't quite the same for us as it would have been way back in Paul's day. We've made the cross something beautiful. I love this cross. I love how this community has chosen to depict the cross as turn it into, you know, this dance, this coming together of the people of God, this celebration, right? There's something quite astonishing about this cross. What's curious, though, is that in the early Christians didn't depict the cross. They didn't use the cross. The cross does not enter Christian art for centuries because they still remembered what crucifixion looked like. I mean, the Romans used crucifixion as an act of terrorizing people. It was intended to make you afraid. It was intended to humiliate the victim. It was intended to show the brute force of the victor over the vanquished. And so people in the ancient world, and this is what I find astonishing, that it was a daily experience for them to be walking down the road and having a body hanging there. And somebody dying as they're going off to the market. Somebody dying as they're going from their village to entering into Jerusalem, that there is a body that is being tortured in their presence. That's what crucifixion was in the ancient world. And then to have Jesus be one of those bodies on the cross. And so what Paul says is that we've got a message about the cross. We proclaim Christ crucified. There's something about that early notion that no, God is in the midst of that. God enters into that. God takes that moment of terror and pain and shame and transforms it and recreates it and makes something new out of it and brings about new life. That's the message of the cross, which is foolish for those ancient hearers. The foolishness of God is wiser than human's wisdom. That's what Paul is trying to say. I'm curious how that applies to the Beatitudes. How God's foolishness, I was struck this week, how the Beatitudes are God's foolishness on display. Blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, as I was thinking about it, that's not the list that I would write. Like if I was thinking about who is blessed in our world, that's not the list I would come up with. Blessed are the list I would come up with is like, blessed are the clever, for they figure things out and they don't feel stupid. Blessed are the fabulously wealthy, because they've got nice lives. Blessed are the powerful, because they get what they want. Blessed are the strong, because they don't ever have to feel weak. Blessed are the stunningly beautiful and the insanely handsome, because they're sexy and people are drawn to them, right? Blessed are the talented and the intelligent because they're successful at what they do. Blessed are the humorous and those who are charismatic because people like them. You're free to offer any others, right? I mean, that come to mind. Because I didn't have to think hard to come up with that list. It just came to me immediately. I was like, boom, 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 right? I was like, I know that. It's in my bones. Part of me believes it deeply, because our culture believes it deeply. And I'm a part of our culture, this North American culture, right? And I get that, you know, the fabulously wealthy aren't always happy. Sometimes the fabulously wealthy are the most miserable people on earth. But you know, when it's gray and rainy, that the notion of having a second house on Maui sounds really good. And the reality is that poor people aren't any happier, I mean, necessarily, right? Often the poor can be just as unhappy. I get that to be stunningly beautiful or insanely handsome can be a real burden for people. Because people don't see you. When you're that good looking, people don't see you, they don't see what's underneath, and it can be very isolating and alienating. But when you live in a culture that's focused on beauty, I still think in many ways that's an easier road to trod than if you're disfigured or have physical deformities. There's a lot of truth, right, to that list of blessing. If you're talented and clever and, you know, funny and charismatic, you have certain social and economic advantages that other people don't. Like, it plays out well. The reality of it is, that's how our world works in a lot of ways, and we live in that world, which is why we know it so deeply. And so what I love when Paul is saying, or when Jesus says, well, I mean, when Paul's talking about the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, that's human wisdom. And Paul is saying the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, which is to say, blessed are those who don't have very much spirit. Blessed are those who aren't spiritual. That's counterintuitive. He says, blessed are those who are not spiritual, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's not how we operate. We think, well, no, if you're spiritual, right, you're closer to God. You're more likely to be close to the kingdom of heaven. But that's not what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who don't have a lot of spirit, for they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, which is to say, blessed are you when you're aching and you're hurting and something you love has been torn away from you and you feel weeping and gnashing of teeth and a sense of despair. And there is nothing that feels good about that. Because you will be comforted. There is an end. There's something on the other side. Blessed are the meek. Which is to say, blessed are the fearful, blessed are the timid, blessed are the insecure, blessed are those who get bullied and pushed around and don't stand up for themselves. For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you're hungering and thirsting for something, you don't have it. So it's basically, blessed are those who don't have righteousness. Blessed are the unrighteous, or at least those lacking in righteousness, who want something more, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Often the people who are most merciful are the ones who've suffered at the hands of a really legalistic, punitive, rigid system, who've been judged, who felt contempt. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, which means when they're in need of mercy, when they've been judgmental and contemptuous and rigid and punitive, they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. Often peacemakers are those who've grown up in conflict. Peacemakers are those who understand war, who've seen the ravages of it, who've felt the division within their own family of people always arguing. If you have a conflictual family, one of your kids is going to be a peacemaker. And blessed are they, for they will be called children of God. So God does is step into conflict and tries to resolve it. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, when people revile you, because that is a cross. That's what happened to Jesus. And like all crosses, what God does with crosses, what God does with those places of shame and terror and fear and despair, is God takes them and reworks them and transforms them and makes something new out of them so that there's new life. That's the message of the cross, and that is the foolishness of God. Amen.